Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to From the Legal Side. Glad that you are joining us today for this edition. We have a very serious topic that we'll be talking about in just a moment. But before we do that, be sure to check out our friends over at Body Armor USA, because we've got what it takes to protect you, whether that's clothing, protective wear, body armor, slash resistant vests, corrections officers, campus officers, law enforcement officers, security officers, general public. We have all of the right gear, all of the right protective wear for your specific needs. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about that. Well, today in this edition of From the Legal Side, we're going to be talking about pursuits and vehicle chases and even situations where you might say, well, I wasn't really chasing, I wasn't really pursuing, but I was just following. As you probably know by now, in the last few years, law enforcement has been under attack for many things, and one of those things has been chases, police pursuits that oftentimes wind up with others injured or killed, and the public, the politicians, and even some police chiefs have questioned the necessity of chasing everyone, everywhere, every time, just for a minor offense. As a law enforcement officer, I can tell you that there are times when you're trying to stop a vehicle and it's only for a minor infraction. Maybe they didn't have a taillight on their tag. Maybe they went through a stop sign. Or maybe they're just speeding a few miles over the limit. That really is not such a egregious offense that the law would allow you on that alone to pursue. It's called prima facie evidence, just on what we know. The Supreme Court ruled a number of years ago that police cannot base their actions on something that they did not know until the conclusion of the pursuit or the arrest. I can't just say, well, I chased him and look, he has drugs in the vehicle. Well, you didn't know that he had drugs in the vehicle. You don't read minds. You don't have a crystal ball, and there was no way to forecast that he would have drugs in the vehicle. Maybe he did fit the alleged profile. Maybe he did fit a description of somebody who was acting suspicious in a neighborhood. Maybe he was someone who is reportedly a drug dealer. But after the fact, the Supreme Court says that's not reasonable. That's not enough to warrant a police chase. Well, you say to yourself, why are we even having this discussion? Most of us, many of us listening today, we're not police officers. We work in the private sector. That's true. We do have police officers that do listen. We do have special and private police officers that also listen. We have local law enforcement that listen. We have security. We have public safety. We have campus officers. We have a wide variety of folks who do listen to our show, and that's true. Probably the majority are not going to be your local state or federal law enforcement officer, but in recent months, within the last 3 or 4 months, there has been 3 different occasions where security officers pursued or followed suspected persons off the property, and even in one particular incident, a physical chase, and that's why we're talking about it today, because it does happen. It doesn't always make the media. It doesn't always get reported unless someone is seriously injured. It's not the headline news that the media today is interested in presenting. But because Private Officer International has its own news department, because we monitor so many, over 2,500 news sources, we do have the information. And in recent months, we're going to give you several examples that were considered probably not chases, but in all actuality, it was chases. And in one case, there was a death, and another case, there was severe injuries caused. And the security officer was charged in that incident, and it's not the first time. No, we've had other pursuits. That's why we're having this discussion today from the legal side, because there's a lot of ramifications for police when they pursue someone. If they pursue someone who just committed a minor traffic offense, or maybe a minor theft at a local department store, and they chase that person on and on and on and on. Hey, we all know we want to catch the bad guy. It doesn't matter if you're private or public law enforcement. It doesn't matter if you're security. We're there to protect and serve, and that includes catching the bad guys. We want to catch the bad guys. We want to put the bad guy in jail. We want to solve the crime. We want to put an end to things, and sometimes that causes us to be, I don't want to use the word over jealous, zealous, but it can come down to overzealousness. But there's a difference between that and someone who's just trying to do a good job, someone who's just trying to catch a bad guy. But law enforcement really has a lot of liability in any type of chase for any reason, even if the man is a murderer, a bank robber. There was a horrific, horrific chase out of Las Vegas last year. You may have seen it. It was all over the media, all over social media. It was everywhere. A Las Vegas police officer chasing a wanted fugitive. This was a serious crime that he was wanted for, and police were chasing. They were in a pursuit, and I believe that he had struck an officer, certainly struck others' vehicles, and he was trying to get away. And eventually, there came a point when the police officer, who was the lead chase car, pulled out his firearm and shot the vehicle multiple times through his windshield, and critically wounded, I believe fatally wounded, the driver. Was that extreme? Was that necessary? Was that legal? There were so many questions and so many people not understanding the law who were furious about that. And law enforcement officers themselves, that had them questioning, would they have done the same thing? Would they have used the same level of force? Would they have you know, pursued and fired at the same time? What if those bullets had hit other civilians? What if other citizens were injured or killed because of it? There's something in the law called the totality of the situation, the totality of the incident, meaning everything combined. When we consider the lives that are in jeopardy, the crimes that have been committed, the driver's recklessness, and put everything all together, the law allows for the totality of the situation to dictate the level of force. And in that situation, many people were judgmental. Many people couldn't understand, and it didn't even look good at first in my own eyes. But looking at all of the totality, all of the situations, I had to concur that maybe it was reasonable under the law, under the totality element of the law. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to really dive into this because there's a lot of different elements, a lot of different components to chases or just even following people off the property. You're listening to From the Legal Side, a production of Private Officer International, Private Security and Law Enforcement Association. Go to our website at privateofficer.org today. Sign up to become a member if you're not already. Also, you can read our daily news blog at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We're coming right back, folks. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Legal Side, where we discuss all the legal aspects and legal ramifications and consequences of what we do, regardless of our position, regardless of our profession, regardless if we're just doing it as a citizen, a civilian. There are lots of things to consider, especially these days. and the environment that we live in. We're talking about pursuits, chases, even following people off the premise. Hey, I got to admit, I hate to see the bad guy get away. It doesn't matter if it's just a traffic infraction. It doesn't matter if he was a murderer, a bank robber, or a shoplifter. When people flee, even from a simple traffic stop, 9 times out of 10, there's another reason behind it. We know that drugs, guns are involved, or he may or she may be a wanted fugitive. And there's a lot of reasons why people respond as they do. And I'm going to go off topic just a moment here, but just this past week in Nashville, Tennessee, a police officer trying to conduct a simple traffic stop for a minor violation posed a woman into the parking lot of a Dollar General store, and he's talking to her, and all of a sudden she pulls a gun and shoots the officer several times. He returns fire, killing her. This was a simple contact. The officer had no way of knowing that she was armed or that she was going to assault him or shoot him. Yet, simple interactions with the public, anytime you're wearing a uniform, anytime that you're going to contact the public for any reason, simple interactions can quickly turn dangerous, violent, and deadly. That's why many times law enforcement agencies would rather let that person go for a minor offense and catch them later on, even though there's a good likelihood that person had warrants or drugs or guns or some other reason why they did not want to be stopped. Recently in Dallas, Texas, a security officer suspecting a burglary saw the person getting into the vehicle. And supposedly he followed that person, not pursued him. He didn't have lights and siren, but he was kind of following the person fast. He sped up. The vehicle sped up. He sped up. They went through communities, and that vehicle, the driver crashed into a light pole, and he died. Was this reckless of the private security officer? Was this necessity? Was this legit or legal, or was this something that he should not have done to begin with? I don't know, because I wasn't there. Neither was you. We can't really judge someone based on the information that's in the news. We don't know if it's complete. We don't know if it's true. We have to kind of guesstimate. But from a legal standpoint, here are the issues in that situation. Number one, it comes down to two things. Number one, did the employer allow their personnel to leave the property? Because if they didn't, if that was not part of the contract, then they would be in breach of contract. So that would be a civil matter. And so, yes, that would be a violation, and he probably should not have done it to begin with if that contract did not allow it. Security companies are not always very detailed in their contracts, which is one of the things that I often get on to security company owners about, especially small and medium-sized, non-conglomerate types. You need to really be specific in your contracts. The wording, the verbiage, everything has to be specific and well outlined and understandable. What they say about any written contract is it should be at the level of not an attorney, but an eighth grader. Somebody who has minimal education, they need to be able to read and understand that language, what it means, what it's trying to say, what it doesn't say. They need to understand all of those details in order to really be able to know whether or not this is a good agreement for them or not. In the case of this incident in Dallas, I don't know what the contract said. I never saw it. But if there was nothing in there about leaving the property, then no. Had a situation in Chattanooga, Tennessee a couple of years ago. An off-duty police officer working for a school that was in a relatively not-so-good neighborhood. He was off duty, but in uniform and, of course, in a police car, which, again, is something else that it's debated often whether or not they should be allowed to. But in any case, he hears a radio call come over that there's some type of crime nearby. He's relatively close. And so what does he do? He leaves that property where he's working security, and he goes to the call. Now, it wasn't necessarily officer needs assistance type call. It wasn't really a priority call, but it was some level of crime. He gets there. He gets entangled into a confrontation with the subject, and he winds up shooting and killing the person. Well, the moral of the story here is he was off duty and acting as a security officer at another location. When he left that location A and went to location B where the radio call, the police call came out, he was actually still acting as a citizen. He was not on duty. Technically, when he interacted with the person and fatally shot him, he was a civilian. So technically, he would not be covered under the insurance of the agency. He would not be covered under qualified immunity, which gives police officers a special immunity if they act within the law and the policies of their agency. In this situation, the officer, what happened, the whole thing went to the grand jury. And the grand jury decided not to indict. However, there was a civil lawsuit. And the argument was that he was not on duty, that he was actually working as a security officer.
You wouldn't think the cafeteria would be a scary place.
There are 5.9 million kids in the U.S. living with food allergies.
It happens to me on the school bus.
And a third of kids with food allergies are bullied because of it. Right now, we're working on a cure for food allergies. Until then, there is a cure for food allergy bullying. You. Go to foodallergy.org to teach your kid about the seriousness of food allergies.
If I'm not at school, I can't get bullied.
Food allergy bullying. It's not a joke.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
And if he truly, truly was working as a security officer at the time of the incident, would his agency's insurance company step in and defend him in the civil lawsuit? Well, in many areas, when a off-duty police officer steps in and begins to conduct law enforcement duties. For instance, in this situation here, even though the police officer was working off duty as a security officer for a company, when he responded to that call, he stepped into his law enforcement role, and therefore his agency's insurance would and should provide defense, and if there's a judgment, pay that judgment on behalf of the department, police department, and that police officer. And that's exactly what happened. They were able to argue that, yes, he was off duty more or less. He was working another job, but when he responded to the radio call of a situation and he intervened, then at that point he was a law enforcement officer again. It becomes confusing, especially to civilians, but it happens frequently. Many police departments, they assign their officers take-home vehicles. So you get to take it home, and you can drive that patrol car when you're off duty. And with the understanding that if there's a hot call, a very serious call, a shooting, a murder, a bank robbery, a rape, somebody in distress, that you're going to answer that call if you're nearby. And you're required to carry your firearm and agency ID with you. So as long as they do that, then they are covered under the insurance, under the law, as a police officer. Even though they might be off duty, they immediately switch gears and begin to become a police officer at that time. So in this situation, yes, he was a security person. He was working as a security officer. He responded to a police call. He conducted police business, and therefore he was covered under that police agency's insurance. And also, the grand jury refused to indict because he was acting as a police officer. If he truly was a civilian and not a police officer at that time, it may have been different. The grand jury may have indicted him. I don't know. I don't have all that inside information. I wasn't there. But as long as he legally engaged that person and used legal lethal force, whether you're a civilian or police officer, you should be fine and come out of it without any issue. So there was another legal issue not too long ago, which involved a security officer. And again, we're talking about whether or not it's justified to leave the property when you're working security, whether or not it's legal. There's no criminal charge for following someone. There is a criminal charge if you actively engage in a pursuit. So there was a situation where a marked security vehicle chased someone down the road. This person had committed a minor situation. I don't even know if it was actually a violation of the law, but there was a minor situation, and this security vehicle, he chased them. It was in New Jersey. It chased the vehicle down the road in a pursuit style. Many people began calling 911. There's some type of pursuit. We don't know if this is police, but they're very reckless and dangerous and so forth. And yes, police got involved, and eventually they arrested the security officer for impersonating a police officer, even though, you know, he didn't tell anyone that he was a police officer. His patrol car didn't say he was a police officer, but they put the information together that he was trying to conduct a traffic stop, and for whatever reason, decided to press charges against that person. It is not against the law to follow someone. A crime has been committed. Any civilian can follow a person as long as you obey all traffic laws. You don't speed. You don't go through the red lights. You don't try to pull this person over or force them to stop. That's legal. People do it all the time. They get the license plate. They call 911. Hey, I'm following such a vehicle. He's been driving reckless. He might be a drunk driver. Here's his tag number. That's legal as long as, like I said, you're not speeding, conducting any type of recklessness. You're not showing disregard for public safety. That's all well and good. Security officers in general should not leave the property that they're contracted to. There's a high liability issue there. You could not only be sued for leaving by the client, but you could also wind up in a situation where you would be liable for causing a wreck, an injury, a death even. And so from the legal side, we suggest that you just don't leave the property. That's going to conclude this edition of From the Legal Side. Remember, if you're not a Private Officer International member, go to our website at privateofficer.org today. Sign up, become a member, and you can read all of our daily news at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Until the next time, folks, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.